You made it halfway home, Slee. You've made it halfway through the show without another thing that I can add to the list. I'm getting a little nervous. You haven't given me something yet. I'm trying to pull it out of you. Because I want another thing.
It comes to bother you with.
2 hours. Uh-huh. 1 hour in, it's bound to happen. It might get a couple this hour.
You never know, right?
Might get a couple.
Absolutely. All right. 877-710-ESPN. We've been talking a lot about the Lakers and.
Oh, Trav, can I tell the story? Can I tell the story real quick?
Yeah, please. Okay. Go.
By the way, this is open. The invite doesn't even have to be there. 877-710-ESPN. You guys want to be on the show? Whatever we're talking about, if there's a topic that interests you, just feel free to call in. Okay, so Trav, I'm doing the post game show a couple nights ago. It was right before I'm about to start. So I get a call on my cell phone, and I'm looking at, I don't know the number. So I'm like, all right, I probably that close to the post game starting, I wouldn't answer it, but for some reason I answered it, and I'm like, hello, and the guy's like, hey, Alan, I'm like, yeah, he goes, am I calling in? I'm like, huh? He's like, am I calling into the post game show? I'm like, you're calling into my cell phone.
You gave it on the air.
No, I didn't give anything on the air.
Okay.
The guy literally thought he was calling in. Nice guy. I mean, it's not like he thought he was calling into the post game show to talk about the Lakers game. He was calling on my cell phone. I have no idea how he got my cell phone number. I eventually hang up with him, and I'm like, yeah, this is not how it works. Eventually, I hang up. And he sends me a text basically saying something like, this is how he got the number, whatever. He saw it online.
Okay.
So after all that, I text him the number. Hey, this is the number to call in. He texts me back. So what'd you think of Damian Jones? I'm like, so nothing changed here? You didn't understand anything that I just told you that this is not? He wants to have like a chit-chat while we're doing the post-game show. So there's my post-game story.
You know what I just took out of that, Slee?
What's that?
Your phone number is somewhere on the internet if anybody wants it.
It's really not that exciting. It really, really is not that exciting.
That was one of those things. Were you a crank caller as a kid? Would you call people for no reason? Was
definitely.
That your deal?
Definitely.
100%
I would. I actually, not even prank calls, but like, yeah, I guess you could say prank calls. I would do it with a buddy of mine. Just like I told you, like 12, 13 years old, and you're acting like you're 12, 13. Just idiots. Anything got you excited and you thought it was the funniest thing. You look back on it now and you're like, yeah, what an idiot.
Well, that goes, I don't have to look back. I'm still doing it. I'm 49 years old and I'm still doing stupid stuff.
I'm still doing it.
Absolutely. Every single day. All right. So the Dodgers got knocked around a little bit tonight. Who cares? That doesn't matter.
Everybody have highlights of the third inning. I want to go to the third inning real quick.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you know how spring training, this is how you know when you can turn it off. Once somebody comes up to bat with a number that starts with an 8, it's time for you to go turn the TV off and go do something else. Yeah, good luck. Maybe we'll see you in a couple of years, but that dude
Do you watch a lot of these games, a lot of the spring training games?
I watch them right up until what I just said. I'm not going to be like if – because the Dodgers so far, they've rolled out their regular lineup about half of it each time. Like, you'll get about half of the regular guys and half of, you know, guys that are probably going to be minor leaguers. Once it's all minor leaguers, I'm out.
Yeah, we'll wait for the season to start. I'll definitely wait. But it's same thing for me. Like, Lakers, I'm watching all the preseason games. Mm-hmm. I mean, if it's fourth quarter and, you know, they're up 20 or down 20, I'm not paying too much attention. But I think there's some similarities there.
The one thing that I think is worthy of really paying attention to this spring training for the Dodgers is the back half of the rotation, because I know we talked about this the last time we were here. They've got five spots like everybody else, but they have a problem that no one else has, and they have too many guys for not enough spots. Bauer, Buehler, and Kershaw are going to pitch. They're going to take their turn in the rotation. Assuming they're healthy, they're going to go pitch every 5 days. Who gets those last two spots? Because, look, you can almost guarantee yourself that Julio Urias is going to be one of those guys for no other reason than he earned it last season with his performance out of the bullpen. I know it sounds weird that you earn a starting performance out of the bullpen, but it felt like he did. So here's what we're talking about. You're talking about one spot, and you have to pick one of the following guys. You have to pick a guy that makes a ton of money in David Price, who's a former Cy Young Award winner, who's still a pretty good major league pitcher, but who has never really pitched for your team. Remember, he sat out last season.
How much does that come into play? You said that making a ton of money. How much does that part play into it?
It always plays a part of some of it. I don't know if it's the determining factor, but it's certainly in the equation. So he's option number one. Option number two is Dustin May, who, for my money, has the best stuff I've seen from a guy in a really long time. Now, how effective that stuff is, we'll see, because he still doesn't get a ton of swings and misses, and I just don't get it for that kind of stuff. Doesn't have a second pitch, and his command kind
of does he
comes
remind you of you at Santa Barbara?
No, because he's good. The biggest difference between him and me is that he's good and I never was. And then your last choice is
Tony
Gonsolin.
That's a great, great answer.
And your last choice is the Catman, right? Tony Gonsolin, who is just about as steady a major league pitcher as you could want for a guy at that age. Keep in mind, he's really young too, and he already looks like a guy that's been pitching in the major leagues for 10 years. Two of those guys are either going to be in the bullpen or in the minor leagues.
I think it's easy. I think David Price will start off the season, and I think you mentioned this last week. Did you say you think Dustin May probably will go down because you want to see him get innings?
I think that I would rather see him pitch every 5 days, get some length, learn how to pitch as a starting pitcher than have him come and pitch the seventh or eighth inning two or three times a week. I don't know what we get out of that.
Trav, Gonsolin is 26 years old. Dustin May is 23 years old. Don't you think in a 162-game grind, when you're a team like the Dodgers that are expected to win X amount of games in the regular season, are expected to make it to the World Series, have when I say a good cushion, at least on paper, they're that much the front runner to win a World Series, don't you think they're going to get their opportunities during the season? I mean, don't you think that's just naturally going to happen? And the reason why I point out the age is everything is opportunity and timing. So if the opportunity is not today, that does not mean tomorrow one of those two guys, if not both of them, might find their way into the rotation.
They'll all pitch. They will all pitch. They will all make starts this season. There's no doubt about it. But at some point, development needs to be prioritized. At some point, what you are doing needs to be more important than what you have done. And that's why I think that David Price is the odd guy out. I agree with you. I think he'll probably be that guy. Assuming he pitches well enough in spring training, I think he's probably that guy. But when you get down to it, it's can you get guys out or not? And we'll see. I know Dustin May can. I know Tony Gonsolin can. I know David Price has, but he hasn't done it here, and he hasn't done it for a while, and I don't know what that's going to look like. If you said to me, fast forward to the All-Star break, who are the five guys and who's out, I think David Price is out by the time we get
there. So that's part of my point, is if David Price starts off the season, and I'm mentioning to you, opportunities will come. This is what I'm referring to. This is part of the opportunity part that I'm talking about, is maybe a player doesn't live up to the expectations. Maybe a player, you got a blister and you got to sit for a month or whatever the case is. I really think those type of opportunities are going to come, especially in a 162-game grind. But you said something about development. You know, the Dodgers are in a unique position. It's almost sometimes I hear Laker fans say, well, we got to develop THT. Or, you know what, Kuzma plays really well when AD is not in there. Well, who cares? You know,
right.
So the point that I'm making, Trav, is there's certain times you develop, and there's certain times you go out there and you're trying to grab your second World Series in a row, or like the Lakers, you're trying to go back-to-back. And part of that, I know what you're saying, is those two guys might be good enough to where development, they're already at that stage where they can be big pieces in a World Series.
Yeah, look, development is for the Seattle Mariners. The development is for the Sacramento Kings. The Lakers and the Dodgers aren't developing.
Certain
guys.
franchises have been developing for 20 years.
This is why Dave Roberts gets paid a lot of money to make decisions like that, and Sean McVay and Frank Vogel. Those are the three guys managing the three teams here in this town. Which one would you keep? That's next. 710 ESPN, Travis and Sliwa.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
You know what? I am not the new Marcellus when it comes to killing co-hosts, because tomorrow, Slee, I'm going to do the show. You're going to take a day off. I respect that. Good for you. I'm going to do the show with Kirk Moore. Kirk is the only person that I started with on this station that
and
I'm still
going
with.
Strong. Still going
so,
strong.
So Kirk has made it. So Kirk and I will be here tomorrow. You should listen when you're on your little extended weekend.
When I'm a couple deep, maybe I'll shoot you a call. Shoot you
do
a call
it.
Just in the middle of the show, and we'll see where it goes from there.
Here's another tweet about you. These are my favorite kinds.
Yeah,
this
yeah,
is from Francis. The ends of a loaf of bread aren't for human consumption. Those belong to ducks or fish. It's in the Geneva Convention. Read a book. So there you go. Now, are you up to speed?
What's the dude's name?
It's Francis in Glendale.
Look, Francis, not everybody has the type of money that you have where you could just throw away the ends of bread, okay? Where I come from, we eat the ends of bread.
All right, let's find it. What do you use them on like a sandwich? Or are you making French toast? Like, what are we using that piece of brick bread for?
Trev, whatever it needs to be used for, okay? This isn't the plan. This is life. All right, you open up. This is what you have. You use what you have. All right. If I want to make a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, and
those are good.
One end of the bread is it has to be the end, and the other one is the good side. Well, we put them together. Every other half of the bite is good. The other half is not as good.
Well, first of all, a PB&J needs to be eaten open faced, right? You don't need two pieces of bread. That's too much bread. You just need more peanut butter and a little bit of jelly and one slice of bread. It's perfect.
Two slices and kind of mash it down a little bit. You know, like put it down to kind of make it a little bit less. Don't do it. Trav, let's not do this right now.
Yeah, these always go poorly for
be
you.
Be professional.
Let's try another a phone call right here. Let's go to Gardena this time. Oh, that's our buddy Manuel. Manuel, what's going on?
T-Rodge, my man, all night galleon. Oh, it's great to hear you guys, and especially since I'm hearing that my man Kirk Morrison is going to be on tomorrow.
Yes, sir.
Raider Nation, unite. Hey, loving the show, man. You know, I love the show every time you guys come together like, well, not like the Beatles, but that's another story for another day. You guys brought up some good points, man. I think that Dave Roberts and Frank Vogel are definitely keepers, man, especially after they go back-to-back this year. My man, T-Raj, cut the sleeve stack a little bit of, you know, cut him some slack, man, because I like the fresh onions on the In-N-Out too, man. Don't get me wrong. I like to go animal style every now and then, but it's good to go fresh onions as well, man. So, you know, as long as you're not doing that protein crap with the lettuce wrap, come on, man. That's for like, you know, I'm not even going to. Hey, one last thing. The ends of the bread. Here's a little flip for you. Mm-hmm. And yes, right, man, we're in silver spoons, T-Rod. We got to eat that bread. So you flip it.
By the way, real quick, let me tell you, Trav is doing his show right now from a country club, okay? Travis is in a
different class.
We only
eat the middle
class.
Two slices of the loaf.
It's a different class,
bro. We throw
class,
the rest
bro. Of it away. Putting on his patio green. But anyway, hey, so look, you flip the bread, and then it's like any other normal bread, brother. You know what I mean? And hey, one last thing that I was going to say, just keep up the good work, man. More tamales, Morales be coming with those drops. And I'm loving it on this KSPN Los Angeles.
Appreciate right, you
Manuel.
Calling in.
Appreciate that. Thank you very much. First of all, you already insulted Morales without knowing it, Manuel. Chris will eat that In-N-Out burger with the lettuce on it. I mean, I get it.
I want to call her when they're on their way to In-N-Out. It doesn't have to be tonight. But one of these shows, I want them to call in and order on the air. It doesn't matter what they're ordering. Doesn't matter. Just – we got veterans in the game that are going to In-N-Out at any different time of the night, all right?
The odds of there being a person in line at In-N-Out right now listening to us are very high. So we could do it tonight if they want to. 877.
And that has more to do with In-N-Out.
877. Well, yeah, that goes without saying. 877-710-ESPN. It wasn't that you ordered raw onions on your burger. I like that, too.
No, my delivery. Delivery.
It was the entire process that kind of sent us in another way. He mentioned Frank Vogel and Dave Roberts as keepers. So here's my question, Usley. We've got three guys right here. They're kind of at the peak of their game. You've got Dave Roberts, who's coming off of a World Series championship, who's won the division. Get ready for this. Dave Roberts has won the National League West every single time he's been the manager of the Dodgers. It's pretty damn good. Been to the World Series three times, won one of them. And at least one of those other World Series was deeply, deeply tainted because of the cheating Astros. You've got Frank Vogel, who's 1-for-1 in winning NBA championships.
That's not bad.
That's
by the way, with the Lakers. I mean, one for one with the Lakers, right?
1-for-1 with the Lakers, and then you got Sean McVay. If you were lining up NFL head coaches and did an open draft, Sean McVay is coming off the board in the first 3 or 4 picks. He just absolutely is. So the question I have for you is, if you could only keep one of these guys for the next, let's say, 5 years, and the other two guys have to move down the road, who do you keep?
So I just kind of look at Sean McVay for a quick second. So only 35 years old. He'll be coaching.
I don't want to interrupt you, but I'm going to do it anyway because this is important.
Yes.
Jamie in Montebello is on the line, in line, at In-N-Out. Jamie, what's going on?
Do your thing, Jamie. Do your thing.
Hey, man, you hit it on point about knowing that somebody would be at In-N-Out while you guys
No question about it. Not surprised at all.
Here we go. Double-double animal style. Chopped chilies, extra everything, cheese fries, and a Neapolitan milkshake.
Well, sure.
Jamie, that's a veteran in the game. You and Travis should talk. I'm not on this level.
I don't go cheese fries, Jamie, but everything else, you and I are on the exact same page, except for I don't go Neapolitan shake. That's my kids get that. I go with that pink lemonade because it's fantastic.
Jamie, enjoy that meal, man.
I was torn between the Neapolitan shake or the large lemon nut. That was my decision for tonight.
There you go.
Appreciate you tuning in, and enjoy that meal. Not going to lie, a little jealous right now.
You know what this shows me, Slee?
Mm-hmm.
That we're a pretty big deal.
In-N-Out is a pretty big deal.
Parking lots. Absolutely.
That's awesome.
Absolutely. See, that's how you do that. Anyway, go back to your answer about the coaches.
It completely threw me off.
Vogel, McVay, or Dave Roberts.
So the McVay part of this, McVay's what, 35 years old?
He's
35. He'll obviously be coaching the NFL for a long time. He's got a winning season every year so far that he's been with the Rams. As you mentioned, got to the Super Bowl but lost. Mm-hmm. Dave Roberts, 5 years as a manager, has a World Series now, players coach. A lot of these guys like him. And then head coach Frank Vogel, 1 year with the Lakers, won championship. Yeah, I got to be honest here. You can't go wrong, right? You can't. I think age plays less of a factor for coaches. So it's not as big of a deal that Sean McVay is just 35 years old. But when you're 1-for-1 with the Los Angeles Lakers in winning a freaking NBA championship, and people could say, well, LeBron, and they could say Anthony, I get you could try to stack that as much as you want. He won a championship in his first year with the Lakers. So if I'm looking at any of these, right now I think Coach Vogel kind of stands apart a little bit.
Here's why he's not my pick. And I'm going to throw a fourth name in here.
Let's go to a commercial break.
And it'll explain to you why I go in a different direction. You ready for this? This is not the answer, but it's the reason I'm going to give you my answer. Jeff Fisher.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, remember him?
Mm-hmm.
Mustache, walked around like he invented football.
Remember him, mustache. That was your description of remembering Jeff Fisher. No,
if you lined up 100 people, let's do a little family feud right here, of 100 football fans surveyed, tell me one thing about Jeff Fisher, the number one answer on the board would be
94% would be mustache. 94%.
The other answer would be, we're not going to go 6-10. I'm tired of this 7-9 BS. Mm-hmm. And then he went 4-12. That being said, the reason the answer is Sean McVay is because of Jeff Fisher. There isn't a sport out there among the sports that we talk about where the coach matters more than in the NFL. You see it all the time, right? You see it. You see what Bill Belichick has done. You've seen what guys like Pete Carroll have done when they've gone there. That once you kind of figure it out, you've got it figured out, and you continue to win. Mike Tomlin in Pittsburgh is another good example. He's never had a losing record despite a bunch of guys turning over. The coach matters most in the NFL. That's not to be dismissive of Dave Roberts. It's not to be dismissive of Frank Vogel, who do a fantastic job. But Frank Vogel has LeBron James and Anthony Davis. Mm-hmm. Okay, that is a great jumping off point. And those guys are going to win a lot of games, even if there was no coach on the sidelines, right? If they just said, all right, you guys go figure it out, that would work out pretty well more often than not. Dave Roberts is really good at managing personalities, but again, you've got Mookie Betts and Cody Bellinger and Corey Seager and Clayton Kershaw and Kenley Jansen and all these just fantastic players. Sean McVay came in with the same team that Jeff Fisher had that went 4-12 and he went 11-5 with the same damn guys. You know, that's to me the difference right there. That Sean McVay was able to take a bunch of guys who were going nowhere and turn them into one of the best teams in football in exactly one season. That doesn't happen very often.
Two things, Trav. Two things. Number one, surprised that you said you don't like Dave Roberts or Frank Vogel. I did not think that I would hear that on these airwaves, so that surprises me. That's number one.
Okay.
Number two, it's like I just went up to the it's like the game is on the line, and I just brought the ball up. And in my first attempt, I took a three at the buzzer, and I hit it. And that was Coach Vogel, right? Or was his first that bad? He just swings for the fences, and he hits a home run. Yeah. I'm going for swinging for the fences here. But it's a great case. The case that you're making about Sean McVay, it's a great case. Only thing is, it sounded probably better than mine, so I want to kind of get away from that topic.
Well, I can respect that. I can absolutely respect that. One more quick tweet here. This one's from Dean. As a Braves fan, I'm very excited to see how much Kenley Jansen hasn't improved this offseason. I love our people. I really do.
It's the only
hole. I
really
like this.
It literally is the only hole.
Yeah, it is. It is. That's the piece you got. Blake Treinen pitched tonight. Looked pretty sharp. He was pretty good. So maybe that's his role. Maybe it's Gratterall. Maybe you give Kenley a look at the beginning of the season.
This
dude
straight up pulled into In-N-Out and called and gave us the order. That was so casual.
Well,
I mean, we went away from that. So casual. Jamie just called in, gave us the order. The only thing I didn't know, I couldn't tell, is if he was making the order at the time. Like, I wanted to hear somebody from In-N-Out say, "Welcome to In-N-Out. What is your order?" I thought we were going to get all of that. Jamie was probably 14 cars behind.
So, I'm going to ask you a question that may put you in a tough spot. Are you ready?
Sure.
Last, do you like the fact that they have the guy out there with the little iPad as opposed to talking into the speaker?
It's convenient, right? There's a convenience factor to it. A lot of people are trying to get just think about how long the line is. So if you don't have that, you know, you're making your customers happy. So I'm game for that. I'm good for that.
Yeah, but it's another human interaction that I'd prefer to avoid. Like the whole reason I'm in the drive-thru to begin with, at least in part, is because I don't want to actually have to interact with other human beings. And then you basically
are you the guy that has the window? Hey, Trav, are you the guy that has the window up and he's there, but you're just ignoring him? You're completely ignoring him.
Until I'm ready to order, and then I drop it about 3 inches and speak through the opening.
The ego is – I've never seen anything like this. Never seen anything like this.
All right. Reggie Bush had a birthday. The greatest can't-miss Trojan of all time. Maybe, maybe not. That's coming up next. Travis and Slee, 710 ESPN.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Yeah, it's because it's not. It's kind of a hamburger order, but I don't know if it's an In-N-Out order.
It sounded like I ordered a Whopper.
I'm trying hard. And by the way, I found the thing for today's show. It's your end of bread fetish that's going to go on the list. That's something that we're
going
to deal with.
It's not an end of bread. It's not like I'm throwing away all the
you don't
good
order a bag of all
bread.
Ends. Could you get that? Like, is there somebody in line at an In-N-Out right now? We've already established that that's true. Is there somebody at a bakery right now that can make Sliwa a bag?
We sell
of
ends
nothing,
only,
but nothing but ends.
We sell ends only. What was the Seinfeld episode where weren't they taking the tops off? You know what I'm talking about? The Seinfeld
marble rye.
They're taking the tops off the muffins.
Oh, the muffin tops, yeah. And they're trying to give the bottoms to the homeless. Yeah, I remember that one.
That's a good one.
All right, here's one from Ryan in La Jolla. Hey, Slee, you might be a couple in tomorrow. What flavor of White Claw is your go-to? So they're putting you as a White Claw guy, Slee. Is that true?
Yeah, no White Claw for Slee tomorrow. We'll do some... It's either going to be bourbon or it's going to be red wine. Most likely red wine.
Both of those sound good, both bourbon and red wine. But I'm not going to lie. I'll drink a claw. I'm okay with that.
It's you. You do you. I'm going to do wine. I'm going to do red wine, or I'm going to do bourbon.
All right. So earlier this week.
What I want to know, what was that? Who's that guy's tweet? What was his name?
Ryan in La Jolla.
What's he drinking right now? That's the more important question.
Oh, see, I know Ryan a little bit, and I have a feeling that Ryan has probably a fairly baller bourbon and red wine selection. Mm. I just, first of all, Ryan in La Jolla is a pretty good giveaway right there. La Jolla
sounds
La Jolla's
ghetto.
Pretty nice.
Sounds like a dangerous area.
Yeah.
Is it La Jolla Pearl or something like that? Is it what it translates to? I mean, yeah, it doesn't get any better than that.
I don't know if they'll even let you bring a White Claw into La Jolla. I think you have to just
get out of here
at the port. Hey,
get
out
of here.
What's in the bag, sir? All right, Reggie Bush turned 36 earlier this week, and Slee, you tell me because. Mm-hmm.
Can I play a Reggie Bush highlight real quick?
Please, what do you got?
Okay, take a listen.
Reggie Bush right up the middle, gets the outside. He's at the 30, it's another foot race. Cuts it back to the 20, comes back to the near side of the field. He is going to go. It's going to be another USC touchdown and another thing of beauty from one of the best running backs you would ever see.
That was that game against Fresno State.
That run against Fresno State is just one of the most iconic runs of all time.
A video game. Literally, yeah. A video game.
Well, he did that thing where he's running at full speed to his left, and he plants his left foot about a half an inch from the sideline, and now he's going back to his right at full speed without taking another step. It defied physics. It was the most extraordinary run I've ever seen on TV or anywhere else.
I pull a hamstring. I'm out 2 to 4 weeks just going to the restroom, okay? And Reggie Bush, by the way, what a unique time that was in college football. What a unique time that was in L.A. You know what I mean? Like just the – that was your pro team for how many years?
For a long time.
I mean, just an amazing it's actually sad – that not to say that you're ever going to get back to that level. Well, you can. I mean, you got to be obviously a top five ranked team in the country. But
well, you got to get rid of Clay Helton. That's your first step. But go ahead. Sorry to interrupt.
Just there's certain moments in LA history where you're like, damn, I just want this to last forever. That was one of those moments.
So the thing that struck me when I saw that it was his birthday was that it just never really happened for him in the NFL. Now, I'll stop short of saying that he was a bust because he wasn't. He played a long time in the league, won a Super Bowl with the Saints, and had a...
And there are other busts that are real busts, right?
For sure. So he wasn't that, but he was a million miles away from what I thought he was going to be because, like that run you just described... It was different. It was one of those things that you don't see in the NFL. Maybe you see Barry Sanders or somebody do something like that. And I thought he was going to take that into the league, and it just never happened to him. And I could not have been more wrong about Reggie Bush because I thought he was not only going to be a good NFL player, but a potential Hall of Fame NFL player, a great NFL player. And it just never happened for the dude.
So, Trav, growing up in San Diego, we had the draft, the famous draft – of Peyton Manning and Ryan Leaf.
Yeah.
I mean, you want to talk about differences. Curtis and I was mentioning this before the show. Just kind of think of what Peyton Manning is, right? And what he was to the NFL. And that you were a franchise that was that close to getting that. And instead, you got Ryan Leaf and think about what he ended up. I don't want to compare it equivalent. This isn't apples to apples, but it's as if Portland getting Greg Oden and not getting Kevin Durant. Like, just think of the levels and how many years they've been in the league and how successful they've been to have the Chargers at that moment. It was either Peyton Manning or Ryan Leaf. That's the one that stands out to me that, you know, you got into the league and you were like, what the hell is this?
Yeah, I mean, he was a disaster in every possible way, and it started out badly as well. But that, to me, Leaf is a little bit different because Leaf was, you know, and I know he's gotten his act cleaned up a little bit, and I'm happy for the
he's
guy.
He's done better. Yeah, he has.
Fine, but that's not what we're talking about right now. So he was an ass. You know, he's a bad guy. He had problems. He treated people poorly, and I can speak from firsthand experience, having been around him at various
points
in his career.
The way you treat me, right?
Trust me, I'm not giving you the Ryan Leaf treatment. And so
some would think otherwise
because he was immature. Was not a Reggie Bush got a chance to have it go his way.
Sure,
he got a chance. Just and I don't think Reggie was lazy. I don't think Reggie wasn't doing the work. I don't think that it just he just wasn't good enough. And that's what was so weird about it. Ryan Leaf had a whole laundry list of problems.
Mm-hmm.
Reggie Bush just didn't have the stuff you need to be a great NFL player. That's the part that caught me by surprise.
Yeah, it is. By the way, you know what he's great at? I actually really like him. He's on Izzy Fox, right? He does a Fox analyst. He's great at that gig.
No, he's a charismatic guy.
Mm-hmm.
He, you know, he could college football. He's one of the great running backs of all time. I'll tell you what else too, Sleep. That team on the offensive side of the ball, the defensive side of that ball, had some guys that went on to have some really good NFL careers. But think about it. You had Reggie Bush, Heisman Trophy winner.
Lendell White.
Mm-hmm. Heisman Trophy winner. And Lendell White, who a lot of people thought, look, Leinart and Bush are going to have a really nice NFL career.
A lot of people thought Lendell White would have a better career.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And really, if we're being honest, kind of 0-3.
Hmm.
Weird.
Yeah, that's a good
one. You know what I mean? Like, Leinart went to a bad team in the Cardinals, got hurt, maybe wasn't quite there where he needed to be mentally to start the whole thing. But then he did get going a little bit. He had a couple of good games, and they make a trade for Kurt Warner, and he's gone.
Hmm.
And then he bounced around the Texans and the Raiders, and, you know, he's another one I thought was going to have a big career.
It almost seems like, Trav, the years that they had, how popular they were in college, how big USC was at that time, the way Pete Carroll pretty much treated USC as if they were a pro team, mm-hmm. right? That you're almost never going to be able to top what you did at USC, and they never did. They never were. Individually, they never did.
All right, one more here. John says, my favorite In-N-Out move when picking it up for the family is to buy a road fry and shake to consume while driving home. Sometimes a road burger, too, before a home burger, but always a road fry and a road shake. See, John gets me. What I buy and what I come home with are very rarely the same thing.
You know, you're the guy that when you get home, because you ate so much on your way home, you're like, honey, I'm okay right now. Let me finish this story. You're trying to play it calm, cool, and collective. Like, honey, I'm. You know what? Let me get one thing done real quick. Let me just send out a couple quick emails. What she doesn't know, you just consumed 1,400 calories on your way home.
Well, let me tell you.
And now you're taking your time when you're eating, and she's like, "Wow, things are really changing with Trav."
If my lovely wife ever saw me not eat, she would call for an ambulance. She would assume that something that I was having a stroke or a heart attack.
Did you say earlier you're going to go on a hunger strike to get off the show?
That's what I mean. She was like, "What's going on?" Oh, no. I'm just going to send some. No. What's going on? Are you okay? Do I need to call somebody? Is there something going on at work that I need to know about? Why aren't you eating your food? Never happen.
Have two hot dogs before we eat. That's what she would tell you.
That's right. Yeah, well, she knows my trick. She's been around a long time. We know each other pretty well.
Trav,
right.
can we do this?
Yeah.
We got to do this.
What do you got?
You mentioned Clayton Kershaw.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked a little bit when we were prepping. I do want to hit on this about trying to locking him up during the season. Do you wait? What's kind of the scenario that you play out for Clayton Kershaw? Let's spend a little time on that.
All right, we're going to do that next, plus more of your tweets at Travis Rogers, at Alan Sliwa, more of your phone calls as well, 877-710-ESPN. That's all coming up next. Travis and Sliwa, 710-ESPN.
All right, is your vehicle due for service? Head into your neighborhood Valvoline Instant Oil Change, home of the 15-minute drive-through oil change. For over 30 years, Valvoline has provided quick and convenient automotive maintenance services for busy people just like you. No dragging the kids to a dirty waiting room. At Valvoline, you stay in your car, you stay safe while the expert technicians make sure your ride is in peak performance. It takes about 15 minutes. So when you see that light just sitting there that it's on and you're holding back on taking care of it, it's such a quick process. A Valvoline Instant Oil Change, you don't have to wait. Oil changes, tire rotations, transmission care, and more. Just pull up, drive in, and drive out in about 15 minutes. Visit SoCalOilChange.com for location and game-winning coupons off your next Valvoline Instant Oil Change.
Still haven't had dinner yet either, so the final segment is here, and we've been talking about food all day.
18 years we've done this show together.
18 years, no back-to-back shows, and yeah, well, tomorrow won't be a back-to-back show either. You're going to be going wherever it is you're going, drinking your White Claws.
Doing some Big Bear.
Ooh, Big Bear. Is there a lot of snow?
There's snow up there. It snowed, I think, a little yesterday, but I don't think nothing crazy or anything like that. So you don't got to have chains on.
I believe, and I'm just going by memory here, I've mm-hmm. been up to Big Bear in a few years, but I believe there's an In-N-Out at the bottom of the hill if you want to try to rectify your situation.
Is there an In-N-Out at the bottom of the hill?
I think
I don't know if there is.
They're is it not right off the freeway there, right before you start to climb the hill?
That far? No, you might be right.
I've hit that one. I know where most of them are. I'm just throwing that out there.
Morales got to go to sleep at some point. He's going to do your 5A shift tomorrow. You're going to do your 5A shift tomorrow. I don't get it. I don't understand it.
Hey, what are you going to do? So me and Kirk will be on tomorrow. Sure, we'll get into the Rams a lot, everything else that's going on as well. We'll get Kirk's in and out order as well. That's important. So, Slee, you talked about the Kershaw situation. So yeah. Clayton Kershaw, he kind of opened up the whole topic in that article. It might have been in our first show that we were talking about. Where
a couple weeks ago, right?
He talked about the idea of, you know, I don't know when I'm going to be done. You know, maybe I got more time. We'll see. But his deal is up, so the Dodgers have a decision to make. And when they signed him to that extension, I didn't love it because it felt like they were buying a couple of years that were going to be less than ideal at a very, very high price. He's still performing at a really high level, so I was wrong about that. But do you do it right away? Do you do kind of the Laker approach that they did with LeBron? Like, hey, look, if he wants to stay, we'll give him a deal. Let's get it done and just kind of take it off the table because somebody's going to come at Clayton Kershaw with a whole bunch of money because he can still pitch.
So, Trav, help me understand this one. Why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you?
For this, okay, so the answer to that question, Slee, is exactly what we talked about 25, 30 minutes ago. They've got to start at some point.
It's freaking Clayton Kershaw.
I don't disagree
with
you.
He's 32 years old. It's not like he's 36, 37, 38.
No, but pitchers are kind of like milk. When it's over, it's over. It's bad. You got to throw it away. You know what I mean? You can't turn it into
something.
He
was still good last year, right?
He was. No. So, I'm not saying that he's near there. What I'm saying is that, A, he's very expensive. B, you've got a bunch of guys who are not expensive that are ready to pitch in the major leagues. And at some point, you need to get those guys in the rotation every single fifth day. And the 34-year-old guy, the 35-year-old guy, or whatever it is, may not be the same thing as the 32, 33-year-old guy.
So let me say this. I get all that. Isn't the right thing to do if Clayton Kershaw wants to stay and remain a Los Angeles Dodger? Freaking sign Clayton Kershaw. I mean, isn't that just the right thing to do?
This is
David Price
really
is 35 years old. David Price is 35 years old. If there's somebody that you're worried about, you know, within the rotation that you're saying is kind of on their way out, we're talking about Clayton Kershaw.
Yeah, but so there's a couple of things going on here. Number one, they had to take David Price to get Mookie Betts. So
right?
That's a sunk cost. That's just something you got to deal with. My favorite player as a kid growing up in this city as the Dodgers, my favorite player on my favorite team in my favorite sport was Steve Garvey. Okay, that was my guy. I loved Steve Garvey.
Covered all his games.
And when
this is the first time I brought that one tonight.
I'm glad we got it in.
I was like 2 hours. I had to find the timing.
And when the Dodgers got rid of Steve Garvey, it crushed me. It crushed me because they wanted to make room for a guy. And Slee, I bet you don't even know this name. Do you remember Greg Brock?
I know everything about him.
Okay, so you are the official Greg Brock historian. Greg Brock was going to be the guy that replaced Steve Garvey. Greg Brock was a journeyman major leaguer at best. And Steve Garvey goes down to your spot down in San Diego and goes to the World Series. And it was gut-wrenching to watch it. But guess what happened? The Dodgers had a philosophy that they executed perfectly for the better part of 30 years. They'd rather be a year early than a year late. They'd rather be a year early getting rid of a guy who's got a little bit left than be a year late and have a guy that's real expensive, that there's no market to get out from underneath him, and you got to pay him. And Exhibit A is that dude down in the bullpen.
Okay, so this is my question to you. My question is, what's a fair deal for Clayton Kershaw? Do you think Clayton Kershaw is going to be incredibly unreasonable?
Well, no, I don't think he's going to be unreasonable.
So,
but I think
so what's
he demands
reasonable?
A number. Well, he's getting, let's just round it off. He's getting like $33 million a year, okay? You're not going to take a cut. He's not going to go backwards. I wouldn't. You wouldn't. Who would, right? I mean, that's just not how it works. Somebody will say, hey, look, we'll give it to you. And now all of a sudden you got an economic. What's more important? Do you want to stay where you've been your entire career and continue to be an important part of that, be one of the great Dodgers of all time, which he already is, or do you go pitch a couple of years somewhere else, which almost everybody does? The Derek Jeter program doesn't really exist anymore. Mookie Betts is one of the best players in baseball. He's on his second team. Mike Trout, I would be surprised if he ends his career with the Angels. He's the best. Bryce Harper's on a different team. Manny Machado's on a different team. Guys move.
Yeah, I guess I just this is my hesitation. My hesitation is the dude is a freaking Dodger, you know, through and through. He now has a World Series. Not everything is on his back. You're right. They're loaded, and I could see how that could be, well, it's pressure to give other guys opportunities who have fantastic futures in front of them, but he's still pitching fantastic. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it's like it's tough for me. If he was performing as if he was hurting the team, that's a different conversation. You don't feel like he's got to that point. And maybe, you know, maybe he's okay with taking a 2-year deal or a 3-year deal at tops. I don't know what that deal is, Trav. You're the baseball guy. So I look to you to say, this is a bad deal. And yeah, this is reasonable. We should take a deal like this.
What we're basically asking is it okay to be sentimental with him, right? Is it okay to be sentimental? Because he's not their best pitcher anymore. And if we're being perfectly honest, he's their third best pitcher right now, right? Mm-hmm. He is not as good as Walker Buehler. He is not as good as Trevor Bauer. Historically, he blows those guys out of the water, mm-hmm. right? At least at this point. Historically, there aren't too many guys that have done more than he has. But in the what have you done for me lately business, which is pro sports, can you afford to be sentimental for a guy that's going to be in his mid-30s, who's going to make $30-plus million, who at that point might be your fourth or fifth best pitcher? That's the question you have to ask.
How many years do you think Kershaw will
Dose.
Get?
Two. I mean, will he get or would I give him?
You'd give him 2 years. You think a team out there is going to give him minimum 3?
I think somebody would give him more than two, whether mm-hmm. that's 3 or 4. Albert Pujols has been on the Angels for 67 years now,
yeah.
and they got one good season out of him.
Okay, first of all, you don't know Pujols' age, so I think it's
disrespectful I'm not the only one, apparently.
To say 67 years. He just turned 28.
Yeah, well,
Pujols just turned 28.
David Sampson, the old president of the Florida Marlins or Miami Marlins, uh-huh. said that there's not one person in baseball who believes Albert Pujols is 41 years old.
I believe him. And I am happy to use this microphone and this platform to back Albert Pujols. I actually think he's younger. I think he's 36. I think he's lying the other way.
So, okay, you know what? This is actually a perfect example of what we're talking about. Albert Pujols is one of the great hitters of his generation, mm-hmm. a deadlock cinch, first ballot Hall of Famer, a great player, full stop.
Mm-hmm.
The Cardinals did what we're talking about. The Cardinals saw him at a point in his career where they said, you know what? We already got the best years out of this guy. We're going to offer him
Couldn't
something.
Agree more. Couldn't agree more with what you're about to say.
Right.
But I think it's different.
Why is it different? Albert Pujols
10-year contract.
Well, I get that. He had a 10, but the Cardinals, it's the same decision. The amount of time on the bad, the Cardinals did that thing where, look, we're not going to buy a bunch of bad years because you've already given us a bunch of good years. Mm-hmm. We're not going to do that. And that's when the Angels came running and said, we will.
Pujols said,
we'll do it.
How many World Series did Pujols have? Two there?
Yeah.
Pujols said, what more? I got two World Series. I'm good. Let me go grab that incredible paycheck that's waiting for me in Southern California, and I'm good. Listen, if Kershaw, if you got that opportunity, even if you overpay and it's 2 years, it's freaking Clayton Kershaw. You're already loaded. You got all these young guns as well. You're making more money than you could possibly imagine. I just would love to see Kershaw, at least if he wants to be here, still stay here.
Had we had this conversation prior to reading that piece a couple of weeks ago, I think I would have agreed with you. But it seemed to me,
oh, he may want to go to Texas.
The journey's over here, right? That he said it himself. He goes, having that monkey off your back. I'm paraphrasing here. This isn't an exact quote, but you know, not having to answer that question, not have to worry about that yeah but thing anymore. It just kind of took so much of the pressure off, and now he can go somewhere else. And it's not he's chasing a ring, or he just didn't want to deal with the pressure. It just frees him up to do whatever he wants to do, a lot like Albert Pujols did.
Well, Trav, I have no more time left because we got to go to a break, and I can or not go to a break. We got to end the show. So you got Kirk tomorrow.
Kirk, tomorrow you will be drinking White Claws in the snow.
A lot of White Claws. Yeah, a lot of White Claws.
You should throw us a call, but only if you've had a couple of claws.
Only
That's the only way to do it.
Jesse Curtis, good job.
Enjoy your time. We will see everybody tomorrow night.